The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
This is the Wausau Business Show.
You ready?
And now, here are your cow tipping, ice fishing, polka dancing, beer brock frying, cheese curd loving hosts, Ryan and Paul.
I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush until life's no fun.
It's the Wausau Business Show, and we are open for business.
Hello, Wausau.
No need for a hard hat.
No, not like that construction project we're staring at across the street, the apartment buildings.
No hard hat required here this week on the Wausau Business Show, but please wash your hands returning to work.
Please.
We've got a lot on this episode of the Wausau Business Show. First and foremost,
save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
Let's talk about horseshoes.
Yes. A lot of fun news around horseshoes in the Wausau area right now.
So we just wrapped up the USA Freestyle Kayaking Championships, and soon we'll be hosting NFL draft events.
Right.
And now we are happy to announce that the Greenheck Turner Center has officially been awarded the World Horseshoe Pitching Tournament Championship.
Wow, we've done it again.
Yes, Wausau. Congratulations. That'll be happening in 2026, and I believe it looked like 2027, too. I didn't hear about that.
Is it a two-year event?
I know it's like a two-week event. They take off.
Yeah.
And so everybody comes from around the world to take off 2 weeks to spend in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, and we can't wait to welcome them, and it's going to be a lot of fun at the Greenheck Turner Center.
Beautiful facility out there.
So congratulations to everybody over at the Greenheck Turner Community Center.
It paid off.
And Paul, remember we talked about High Roller Skating Center and how you used to go up to the DJ booth? Last week we talked about that on the show. Well, we're hoping to partner with Evolutions, Randy over at Evolutions, to offer our listeners as we get into the fall and winter months, and then as we approach Valentine's,
right,
to offer listeners the chance to just shoot us an email, info@wausaubusiness.com, or you can go to our website. We're going to put something up where you can buy a rose. We won't announce who it's for until you get to Evolutions and pick it up, like when you went to the DJ booth at High Roller Skating Center,
right,
and you could announce it. Now, you were always the one giving the rose or the flower.
I wasn't given too many to me.
So it was like, Jana, please come up to the DJ booth. Somebody has a rose for you.
Right.
And then Jana would skate up to the DJ booth and Josh Dewey or somebody would hand her a rose and it would say, who's it from? Say, well, here's your rose, Jana. It's from Paul. And you're over there in the corner blushing.
Yeah. A little embarrassed. But
maybe it says, will you go out with me? Circle yes or no, Jana. So we're going to do that at Evolutions.
Bring it back.
We're hoping to do that at Evolutions, where you go to the Wausau Business, wausaubusiness.com website.
Right.
And you just buy a rose. It all goes to the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And we'll announce on the show who the rose is for, but we won't announce who it's from.
You have to go there, right.
Find out who your rose is from. So that's coming up on the Wausau Business Show. And we're also launching the Friend of a Friend competition, Paul.
Yes.
This is coming up probably on January 1st. We're doing a lot of games, I guess.
This is a game, a pretty big undertaking.
It's the Friend of a Friend competition.
Yeah.
For $10,000 in cash, we're going to get sponsors for this. We can't announce who the sponsors are quite yet, but we're pulling this together. It may involve U-Haul. It may involve two men in a truck. It may involve a local
realtor, perhaps,
and some businesses, other businesses in town.
Right.
We're going to get $10,000 together. And the competition is a friend of a friend competition. The Wausau Business Show friend of a friend competition.
Right.
And what it is if you want to enter to win, the objective is to get as many people to move to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA as possible.
Love it.
And the person that gets the most number of people officially will be tracking.
Documented.
It's gotta be. It's easily documented.
Yeah, right, right.
And the person that wins the competition will be the person that gets the most people to move to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA in a certain time period. So we're pulling that together.
Yeah, can't wait for
and
that.
More details on that are coming up. It's the Wausau Business Show friend of a friend competition.
Right.
It'll be nice to have a lot of new Wausonians in town.
Of course. We're making a campaign for it.
All right, should we do a Wausau business rumor?
You know I love that.
So we know that Bob Lemovec is opening up this new place. It's going to be called The Lounge.
The Lounge, right.
It's going to be really cool. We're going to go out and visit him right now in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Get ready for that. But before we do, he has confirmed.
Okay. This is exciting.
We recorded the interview with him on site at the lounge. Not
right.
The lodge, the lounge. It's going to be very cool. And he has texted us and let us know the good news is that it's going to be opening within the next 7 days.
Wow, it's coming.
Within about the next week or so.
Good timing.
He confirmed that he's going to be opening the lounge in Rib Mountain, a brand new establishment, bar, and restaurant. So let's hear about it now.
Yeah. By the way, I love that you print your text messages.
The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Let's get down to business. Let's get down to business.
Wandering Wausau to get the beat on the street.
Okay, here we are. Air compressor's going. Bob Lemovec is here, proprietor. And you're with the Wausau Business Show live at, what are we calling this place, Bob? The lounge.
It is the lounge.
Officially, okay. I wasn't sure if that was announced yet. And what are you opening here?
I figured we'd break open some Heaven Hill.
Oh, okay. Some Kentucky bourbon, Paul.
Kentucky's the place to go for bourbon. Look at that. Heaven Hill.
Haven't had that?
No, sir.
That's great.
Oh, okay. Is this the type of stuff you're going to be serving at the lounge, I presume?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this used to be the old Shakey's Pizza.
Yeah. Hard to remember. It looks so different now.
Yeah. Wow. Well, this looks beautiful. It smells beautiful. We got a little Bobby Brown playing in the background. Every little step I take.
Are you always going to be playing Bobby Brown when we go? Okay.
I think we're going to do that.
No, my prerogative is next.
Well, you never know. We got 80s rock on right now. But
this is 80s. This is considered 80s rock right now? Okay.
According to Apple Music.
Okay. Fair enough, Steve Jobs. Fair enough. So how long have you... Wow, that's a heavy pour. Okay.
Well, here.
No, I accept.
Sure? Okay. I mean, most people don't complain.
I'm not. True. But, Bob, I just have a question. When did you start the gutting of this place? Because it feels like it's been going on forever.
Yeah, we started actually last August, which is right before we actually bought the building.
Okay.
So we bought it from...
Every little step I take.
the Convention Bureau, which is now Visit Wausau.
Yeah.
They were going to remodel and move in here. They decided not to.
Yep.
So we went into an agreement with them to buy it, and then they let us kind of start demoing it ahead of time.
Okay.
And my biggest concern was a lot of people had heard that there were water issues here. So we wanted to kind of start tearing it apart and make sure that the building was viable.
Right.
And in that process, we did find a couple issues that weren't integral to the building, basically like a clogged gutter and a couple other things. So we worked on those, kind of worked on the parapet, and then got that all done on the exterior. And then we started the inside after working through some issues with the village. And now we're plugging along.
How long did this sit vacant?
That I don't know. Okay. I mean, it had to have been...
Well, it was Curves for a little while after Shakey's, right?
Curves, I think Primerica was in here, and then there was a hair salon. So when we started demoing, there were four different suites in here.
Okay.
So, I mean, we basically came in and took it down to the cement, to the studs, rebuilt, re-insulated.
Yeah.
Pulled everything out.
And everything at the garage has been going well, obviously, which helped facilitate this.
Absolutely.
Presumably. And then you own Granite View, right?
View Market, yep.
Granite View Market, great...
I've been there. I'm a fan.
Yep. Alcohol and sundries establishment.
Yep.
But at what point, because I know this has been kind of sequential, Garage has been open a couple years now, and then Granite View opens, and then now, I mean, you seem to be right in a rhythm. What's next?
Comment on that one.
I'm like a grandparent that you just have your first baby, and I'm like, when's the next one?
Yeah. I think for now, we need to get this open, stabilized, and then worry about the next one.
Yeah.
We do have a couple feelers out there, but...
So you're not writing a next one off, is the point.
Not yet.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
So what would be the... Like, okay, it's called the lounge, but, you know, describe the concept.
So the concept...
As here, David Bowie plays in the background.
See, I told you 80s.
Yeah. This is more 80s rock. I would consider Bobby Brown a little more top 40 pop, but okay.
Yeah. So as Paul and I were talking, when you had stepped outside, that when Michael's was here, that was just a really cool place to go, right? It had that dark, couchy, loungy type feel.
Yeah, when Michael's was now what is...
Last Nickel, I think.
Last Nickel. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So not in this building, but you're referring to the old Michael's. Yeah.
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 And that was something that I think really fit a niche in Wausau. And
yeah, for sure. I miss it.
Yeah, we don't really have that anymore. Yeah. So one thing I've realized through the garage, as that has aged, I've noticed that for some people later at night, it's a little too crazy, a little too loud. You know, maybe people our age in their 40s. And, you know, there's really no place else to go. So the idea here as being called the lounge is to come and hang out.
So this is going to be kind of reminiscent of the bar and lounge area of Michael's?
Correct.
Oh, wow. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of couches, a lot of soft seating, like the area back over here where Megan, my wife, has dubbed that the Nook. We're exploring making that a reservable space.
Okay.
So, you know, it's at about 8 to 10. And really what we want this to be is where several couples come in, or you come in with your spouse, and you sit down at a couch, you play Cards Against Humanity, you're playing dominoes, you're eating heavy.
Cards Against Humanity, that's a dirty game.
But that's the kind of, that's the feel that I want.
The vibe.
That's the vibe, right? Yeah. So, you know, you might be sitting at the bar having some really high-end scotch or bourbon or a high-end martini, and meanwhile, behind you, a group of, you know, couples is laughing and just hooting and hollering. So,
cool.
You know, that's kind of what we're looking for.
And how many does this bar seat, then, you said?
Based on best measurement, about 28.
I notice you have outlets here underneath for patrons, and presumably you'll have hooks, too, because you seem to have thought of everything.
Yeah, we'll have hooks also. And then behind the bar, one thing that we really struggled with is that, as you guys well know, a lot of bars in Wisconsin, not just Wausau, but Wisconsin, it's an old house that somebody turned into a bar, and then you're looking at a knotty pine wall with a couple TVs, and we didn't necessarily want that, but it was really hard when we were designing this to not have the bar face a wall. You know, that was a big thing when I designed the garage, that you're obviously facing the wall everywhere you go, but you're looking at something other than just a wall 10 feet away.
Right. Even if other people.
Correct.
The garage does a nice job of that.
Yeah. But
people are interesting.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. People watching is one of the best things. I couldn't make it work here just on the space that we had and what we needed. So we are facing a wall, but this wall will have about 400 to 450 bottles. So it'll be a really high presentation. So a lot of bourbon, scotches,
crap. Like backlit, that kind of wall?
Yeah, backlit. So if you imagine, if you've been in Granite View, our tasting bar back there, the same thing, but about 4.5 times as many bottles.
Very cool. And a lot dimmer. A little more mood lighting.
A little more dim, and a lot wider range of bottles also. Okay. So we really want to get people experience with like the craft vodkas and rums and tequilas. There's a lot of places that you can get that, like Roy Del Tequila, right? Okay. He has a huge tequila selection.
Yep.
But outside of that, you can't really find that, right? And then you can go to Malarkey's or Hohen's Huddle, and they have a large bourbon selection.
Right.
And we're trying to also, within filling the void of a chill kind of hangout place, a place where you can go and get a wide breadth of all spirits.
So beer too, or just spirits?
Yeah, we'll have beer too. More on the craft side. Yeah. We will have 14 draft or 14 lines on the draft system. Not all beer.
Quite a few.
It's quite a few. Ciders. We're going to have sangria on draft. Okay. Prosecco.
Only place in town that has sangria on draft.
Yeah.
And to my knowledge.
A lot more higher end craft beers.
And we've been to every bar in town, so we know. Yeah. No.
The Wausau Business Show has been to every bar in town.
It's our duty.
So we're indicating that he's last then.
That's impressive, though.
But yeah, it's like it's got a super cool, you know, warm vibe. Can you talk about what you did with the wood and how special what you did with the wood was?
Yeah, so the wood, I don't know where I saw it or where it came up with it, but it's either Japanese or Chinese. I haven't taken the time to remember what it is.
Run DMC. This is not rock, but okay. I love it.
And this is not indicative of what we'll be playing.
All right. To be clear, everyone.
Sidebar. What would be playing if this was open right now?
Imagine a a funk, kind of like a funk cover.
Okay. Sly and the Family Stone kind of funk? Or
that kind of funk. Okay. Imagine covers of like Michael Jackson, Billie Jean, but sung in a completely different tempo.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? So kind of like that beachy vibe, that, that chill funk type.
Oh, I get into that.
Yeah, you know, something that you hear in an elevator in Vegas. So not nightclub-ish. You know, that's where we've had a couple of people say, is this a nightclub? It's not a nightclub. Yeah. It's meant to be just very chill. But I also don't want to play jazz every night. We will do some of that at times, but I want to keep it a little bit lighthearted.
Okay, cool.
Back to the wood, though. It's a cool process. So it's pine that we actually burn, so it gets on fire.
Wow.
And then we put it out, brush it, clean it, and then that's where we get this really cool, dark, rich look.
Yeah, you want to think this is pine.
Because otherwise you stain pine and there shows white spots, you said, and this prevents against that.
Correct.
A totally different treatment of pine that is very, very unique.
Yeah, you're going to love the look when you come in here.
Yeah, very warm. The walls are gray. Everything's warm. What's the floor going to be?
The floor is going to be just like what we have at Grand View Market. So we did an exposed aggregate grind. So we ground in here for about 6 days.
Nice.
And then we're just going to seal it. So you have a nice.
So sealed concrete.
Sealed concrete.
Polished sealed concrete.
Yeah.
I mean, what other concepts did you go through before you wound up on the lodge?
Lounge.
Sorry, before you wound up on the lounge.
So originally I wanted to open up an arcade bar.
Okay.
Right. So you'd walk in, sports would be on, music would be pumping, pinball, all that kind of stuff. Ran a full business plan on it. And then I actually visited 4 different states. I think it was a total of 8 different arcades. And what I realized is that I don't think Wausau could support it because I was downtown Chicago and the crowd wasn't huge. I was downtown Madison next to the college and the crowd wasn't huge.
Yeah. It seems to have run its course, the popularity of those.
Yeah. And the other thing I noticed is, you know, I'd go play Donkey Kong, right? Or Tetris on the concept of a pocket pool table. So the dartboards and the pool table will be free. Just go over and shoot a quick, you know, game. If you get bored, you know, you're not out any money. And then Golden Tee.
Cool.
I was at a bar show in Vegas in March, and they have a brand new high definition Golden Tee. And I really feel like the crowd that we're going to bring in and the crowd that we're going after would kind of gravitate towards that.
So you are
going
to have Golden Tee.
We will have a Golden Tee, which again, like that's the weird thing about what we're doing here is we're hitting a couple different check boxes, I think, where you two want bourbon, I want a beer. We'll check those boxes for what we want to drink. The game will be on, and then we can also entertain ourselves with doing other things while having a chill place where it's not, you know, asses elbows, as you had said. But no, and that's kind of the weird thing is we are called the lounge, and that's really going to be the vibe, but we are bringing in some aspects of, you know, other things.
So it reminds me of when you do that with cuisine, they call it fusion. It's kind of like a fusion of different things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and like Michael's, you know, they had the gambling there too, those units.
Yeah, we're not going to have that. I did talk to our vendor that we use at the garage about that, and I don't want any flashy lights. You know, all of those machines, you know, they flash to get your attention, and I don't want any of that here. So it'll be just really a subdued lighting. If you're a gambler, you know, we may have other things, but not that.
We invite you to go to the garage if you're a gambler.
Okay,
cool. All right. Well, hey, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Thanks for the bourbon.
Cheers. You're welcome.
Congratulations, Bob.
Early morning Saturday drinking.
Yeah. 8 a.m.
What better way to start your weekend off than some bourbon?
No matter what your friends try to tell you, we will make you fall in love.
Congratulations, Bob Lemovec. We look forward to checking you out at the lounge coming up in the next couple of weeks or so, or less. 7 days or so, he said.
Right.
You never know with that kind of thing, I guess. Soft opening or whatever. So congratulations, guys. Who's coming up next on the show, Paul?
We are going to be talking to the director of the Leoki Woodson Art Museum, a gentleman by the name of Matt Foss. He's been the director there for the last few years, and he's got some interesting things to go over about the property, the business, the museum.
$30 million is in their endowment.
Wow.
$30 million. And it was in 1974, this house. It used to be a home that somebody lives in. It's a damn mansion, obviously. Yeah. And they were obviously very wealthy. And they donated the whole house to create this museum.
Which is amazing. And the land it sits on, too, is no small feat, too. It's several acres.
And in 2017, it won one of the best museums in the United States of America. So we'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show to talk to Matt Foss from the Leoki Woodson Art Museum. We'll be right back.
Skater.
Hello, skaters. This is 1996 Homecoming King and DJ Josh Dewey zipping through time from 1996 to deliver some roller skating magic. We have a flower waiting for Julie. Julie, come on up to the DJ booth for your flower and find out who it's from.
This is the Wausau Business Show.
The Wausau Business Show.
With Ryan and Paul.
100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show's following business commercials benefit your community foundation of North Central Wisconsin. For 37 years, your community foundation has granted funds to organizations and projects such as the 400 Block, the Children's Imaginarium, Boys and Girls Club, JoJo's Jungle, and many more to help make our community brighter. Learn more by Googling the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And now, our esteemed Wausau Business Show sponsors.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So, bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
Hi, Tom Baudet from Motel 6 with some insight for the traveler. Well, this is what one of our rooms looks like when you're sleeping. And you know, it looks just like those big fancy hotels. Only difference is ours only cost you around $25. More in some places, less in others, but always the lowest prices of any national chain on a clean, comfortable room. Makes you sleepy just looking at it. So I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Psst, you're tuned in to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
Hey folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Cripes Cast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
The Business Show, and right now we are on site with Matt Foss, director at the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum.
Yes, let's do some art,
Matt. Thank you. Thank you.
Notice the echo in here. We are in the glass studio of the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum, which just recently opened, from what I understand. Right, Matt?
What year? Last May 2023.
And still got the new smell to it. I like it.
Yeah, you can get an echo in here. And Bryce is joining us. Bryce Sabella. Did I pronounce that correctly? Sabula, thank you, marketing and communications director, manager, vice president, and CEO. And she's also the head coach of the DC Evers dance team.
Yeah.
So watching over us today, if we say anything wrong, you're here, Bryce. So that's good. So Matt, tell us a little bit about, you started at the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum in 2010. You became the executive director of the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum in 2022.
January 1, 2023.
But you've been a part of the organization since 2010. Mm-hmm. What were you doing before that?
Graduated college in 2009, right? In a beautiful time to graduate college, the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And the job market was kind of nil. My degrees are are actually in history, but learned the museum business, really enjoyed it. My wife got a teaching job in the area in the DC Everest School District and moved to town, heard about the great reputation of the Woodson Art Museum.
And, nationally.
Yeah. And just sent an email to the director and said, hey, what can I do to help out? And started volunteering here. And eventually they found things to pay me for and rose up through the ranks. And almost 15 years later, here we are.
Running the place. And it's been in existence since the 1970s.
Yeah, 1976.
76. And prior to that, it was a residential home.
Mm-hmm.
From the Mr. and Mrs. Forrester.
Correct.
Okay. But where does the Woodson history begin in the forest, or where does the Woodson history end of the house and the Forrester history begin?
That's a great question. And it's intertwined. And, you know, it can be a little confusing to some people. You know, our names, Yawkey Woodson, which also are prevalent in downtown Wausau with the Woodson YMCA, the Yawkey House, the Woodson History Center.
All over the place.
The Woodson family was a very philanthropic family that still exists today, although with different names attached to it because there were no male heirs. Lee Yawkey Woodson, the museum's namesake, was an only child. And then she had three surviving daughters who married, and then, you know, the names come now in different places. So Forrester would have been one of those names. So one of the museum's founding families, there were three. One of them was John and Alice Woodson Forrester, who owned the home that became the basis for the museum.
That is one hell of a home.
Yeah, it was built for Ben Alexander, I believe, in the late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah, one of Wausau's founding fathers.
Right.
And it was expanded once it became a museum. Is that right?
Correct. There, once the original building was donated by the Forresters to the entity of the museum, they originally expanded one minor expansion in 1976, but we've expanded in 1987, 1997, 2012, and then the rooftop sculpture garden in 2021, 22, and then this facility we're in right now, the Glass Box Studio.
And what's next?
That's a good question. You know, we're always planning to make things better for our community, our members, visiting artists, staff. So while we have plans ruminating right now, nothing to share quite yet.
When's the last time it got bigger, or is it just getting improved?
Well, I mean, in 2012, it got substantially bigger with the adding of what we call the new addition, although now it's going on 13 years old. But we expanded by about 10,000 square feet with necessary storage space and gallery space and made our services better for the community.
And how many people come through the museum every year?
Good question. Typically depends on exhibitions, but it's usually between 40 and 50,000.
Yeah, it depends on the popularity of the exhibition.
Correct.
Yeah. What has been your most popular exhibition in the history of the museum?
That's I remember it well. It was in the summer of 2018. It was called The World According to Federico Uribe. And we had, I forget the exact number, it was 28,000 or so come during a three-month period. Federico Uribe is, he lives in Miami. He's originally from Colombia, but he came to the museum, and it was basically an imagined world using repurposed materials. So there was a huge life-size tiger made of bullets. There was a giant giraffe made of colored pencils. There was a camel made of old tennis rackets, a horse made of saddles. It was just whimsical and fun.
I remember coming to that. Yeah.
Did you? And, you know, people, it was fun for us too as staff members. It was, the entire galleries were just filled, and there'd be things that we'd rediscover walking through. You know, usually we're on to the next exhibition after we install one, but this one just kept getting better and better. And my fondest memory, my daughter, she was about five at the time, and she came to opening night, and Federico was there. I introduced her to him, and, you know, they met, and he kind of knelt down to her and he said, "I made all of this for you," you know, and, you know, to see her eyes light up and to see the eyes of other children and just community members light up when they saw this fantastical environment. It's quite memorable.
So does the whole museum get transformed then, or are there permanent
installations?
Yeah.
Great question. So we have our main gallery space spaces feature temporary exhibitions, which we have four main temporary exhibitions per year. But then we have other gallery spaces that are dedicated to the museum's permanent collection, which we have just about 14,000 items in. So our curator of collections chooses artworks from the permanent collection and curates exhibitions based on different themes, medium styles, not necessarily to correspond with what's going on in the temporary exhibitions, but sometimes.
And what's the obsession with the birds?
That's a great question and another great story. So when the museum was founded in the early 1970s, opened in the fall of 1976, the Woodson family didn't necessarily have a large art collection that would serve as the first exhibition. They had some glass, some decorative items, and then a large stamp collection, but none of that really lends itself to a big, you know, opening exhibition. But fortunately, some members of the family were mutual friends with a man named Owen Grommey, who was a very well-known Wisconsin artist and conservationist, and he served as a consultant for the first, what was going to be the first exhibition. And he was thinking about, you know, the museum was going to open in fall, and well, what are people doing in fall in northern Wisconsin? Well, they're bird watching, bird hunting. What if we did something like Birds of the Lakes, Fields, and Forests? I'll call up a few friends and we'll get an exhibition together.
Yeah.
His friends just happened to be the greatest wildlife artists in North America. Some of his friends were like Roger Torrey Peterson and Peter Scott, Arthur Singer, Guy Koliak.
And all of these guys were some of the greatest artists in the world.
Correct. And and they created this exhibition, and the Woodson family would have been happy with several hundred people seeing that first ever exhibition, and a couple thousand came through in the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
And they weren't fools, and they had tremendous foresight, and they said, you know, this is a hit. We should do this again next year.
Wow.
And so they did it. They did it again the following year and the following year.
Were they still living there at the time?
No. Okay. It became the museum full time.
They were in the retirement home at that point?
No. They were still plenty active in the community, but in a different home.
Okay.
But
up the hill a little further? Yeah.
But they it eventually became known as an exhibition called Birds in Art, which still serves as our flagship exhibition, one of those four temporary exhibitions. And really, the museum didn't have the funds to be competitive in the art marketplace, really, for its first 25 years of existence.
And what does that mean when you say that, you know, we need the funds to be competitive in the art?
So the world art market is kind of a competitive environment. So there's large auction houses and gallerists all across the world that are continually selling art. And museums like us, as well as private collectors, are always out to get that artwork.
So like, how does that relate to, I don't know, Sotheby's?
Well, we're a customer of Sotheby's.
Okay.
So we're frequently looking at auctions at Sotheby's, Christie's, other major auction houses for artwork that might fit our permanent collection.
Wow. Okay.
What about security then? You're talking about very expensive pieces.
We have very expensive and good security. So
as long as we're on the topic, what's the most expensive piece of art that exists in the Liaki Woodson Art Museum's permanent collection?
It's an excellent question, but I'm not at liberty to
discuss
that. It's not really, you know, for true museums, it's not really kosher to discuss the valuation of artworks because we don't view it as a fixed asset.
You know,
it's priceless. Yeah. And we exist in the public trust.
Right.
You know, the artwork we collect is for the public, and it's for here to stay, to be enjoyed, interpreted, learned from forever. So
how much insurance do you carry?
A good amount.
What's the budget, the annual budget for new pieces?
We're just curious.
You know, if you're curious enough, there are probably ways for you to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I'm roundabout way. I know that because you're a 501c3 nonprofit, it's public information in your annual report that says you have an $80 million. How much is the endowment worth?
The endowment is just under $30 million.
$30 million.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tremendous.
But you know, just to get into the endowment there, that was started basically as the Woodson family as a gift to this community, but really represents the museum's portion of keeping us forever free.
So the
Woodson family were big believers that art should be free for all.
Beautiful.
So they never wanted this museum to have an admission cost. So they provided the money to create that endowment so that the endowment covers about half of our annual operating budget. The other half we have to raise through memberships and little bits of earned income, traveling exhibitions, grants, corporate support. But yeah, that endowment covers about 50% of our annual costs.
And who decides what to bid on at Sotheby's?
It's basically myself and our curator of collections, but also the museum is guided by an acquisitions committee, which is an offshoot of our board of directors that gives final approval. So we won't bid on any artwork or acquire any artwork through a gallery unless they approve it.
So when something new gets bid, I'm sorry to obsess on this.
No, that's right. That's right. I never thought in a million years I'd be in one of those auction houses holding up, you know, a little paddle.
Where is it? All over the world?
Mostly New York City. Okay. But now, and really since the pandemic, and it's become like must-see TV, they're mostly online.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get to New York a couple times a year, but mostly we're doing this online.
And then can anybody view that when you do it?
Sure.
Wow.
Cool.
And so you're in the moment going, okay, I know how much my budget is. Yep. And if you come home empty-handed, are you a failure or not?
No, you know, it's so hard to predict what's going to happen in the global art market. But, you know, we take great pride in it. One of the greatest experiences, one of the most transformational experiences I have, my wife and I were in New York just on vacation, and we went into Christie's, which had an exhibition of upcoming artworks to be sold. And we viewed it. And, you know, going through, there was probably 200 artworks. And, you know, just thinking, you know, mostly 99% of these get bought by private collectors and are never seen by the public again.
Yeah. Wow.
You know,
kind of a shame.
It is. And that's why, you know, if we have the funds to acquire something and it's been approved by our collections committee, we're hell bent on acquiring it for the public so that it can be seen again.
So you'll aggressively go after it.
Aggressively. But, you know, as Ryan mentioned, we won't go beyond our budget. Right. We only have a certain amount that's restricted for acquisitions, but it's important that we get what we can for the community and our visitors.
And then when it comes back here, I mean, I would imagine that's a very celebratory experience.
It is.
Do you have a specific event like, hey, we're back and here it is, the unveiling?
You know, we usually install it. We have a kind of new acquisitions area inside the museum where a couple of big ticket items, a John Singer Sargent and a George Bellows and a Leonard Baskin are there now that were recently acquired via auction. Mm. So we display it there. We typically mention it in our members' newsletter or through other means. Bryce's job.
Yeah. Thanks, Bryce.
Yeah. Thank you. But you know, that's pretty much how we do it.
But then they rotate. They're not always out, those pieces that you acquire. They rotate in and out.
Correct.
And you have a whole storage.
We have several storage areas where we do that. Yeah,
good. Undisclosed locations.
all on our campus, which is good museum practice. And good museum practice, you usually also want about twice as much storage space as you do gallery space.
Okay. And how do you decide then what permanent collections or who to invite or who to go after to get people to come here and exhibit their collections?
Well, so the permanent collections, I mean, that's all the choice, whatever that exhibition is all the choice of our curator of collections. But for temporary exhibitions, our other curator of exhibitions is always on the temporary exhibition market, which is kind of throughout the country. Different organizations are shopping exhibitions, and she decides which exhibitions to bring in and show in the galleries.
So that's like a whole market where you're bidding on show.
Well, not so much bidding, but you sign a contract and usually about 2 or 3 years out. So for instance, we've got the next year or so already booked in terms of our exhibition.
How long do they stay then?
Like they stay 13 weeks.
Okay,
we have 4 13-week exhibition periods, and then there's 4 weeks for installation. Mm. So it takes about a week, almost all hands on deck, to de-install the previous exhibition and then install the new exhibition. You guys will see a little of that behind the scenes.
Yeah, and I know you, like a couple of years ago, you had a lot of different monies from around the world, and there was an exhibition around that.
Yeah, that was a fun one. Two collectors who are financial advisors collected artwork made from money. Which
true to form.
True to form. It had a lot of interesting themes, but that was a fantastic exhibition.
We have one that we enjoyed, which we were fans of Wausau's number one hat, Stormy Cromer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the CEO of Stormy Cromer will be coming on with us here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, wonderful.
But we know you had a curated collection with Stormy Cromer, which was really exciting too. But that wasn't an actual, you know, something that you went out and got. You curated that kind of yourselves?
Yeah, that was another kind of fun coincidence. So our main temporary exhibition was something called the Global Language of Headwear. So headwear from all over the world. Well, we wanted a little bit of a local focus. So I pretty much called up Gina Thorson, who you're talking to, as well as her dad, Bob, and said, hey, you know, what if we did like an exhibition on the history of the Stormy Cromer?
Very cool.
They were all for it.
Yeah.
And it was funny when you, have you toured the Stormy Cromer facility?
Yeah.
I love that place, but also the comment board.
Yeah.
We wanted to duplicate that. And we did. People could tell their stories about Stormy Cromer. And when Gina came through, she left a little post-it. There were a bunch of post-its on the wall. And her post-it was, I got my first Stormy Cromer when I was 13. Now I'm the CEO. You know, cool. That was just, that was really fun.
And what does it take, Matt, for you to become the director of the museum? I mean, this is a big responsibility. You said I never dreamed in a million years that I would be holding up a paddle in Christie's in New York, bidding on on art. How did that happen? I mean, did you always have a fascination and a love for art, or how did you stumble into this?
I did, you know, I'm more kind of a history guy than art, but, you know, I truly do love the museum business. And in here, I've never said no to a job and always, you know, come to work with a good attitude and tried to do my job as best as I can and form good connections in the community and tried to be a good worker, good coworker.
In Ohio, you said you started that museum in Ohio. Mm-hmm. What type of museum was that?
It was the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, which was for a...
Quite the museum.
Quite the museum. For a red-blooded little boy who's always loved the Packers and football, it was kind of like Charlie Bucket going into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. That was quite special.
So that's where you kind of cut your teeth and earned it. How did you... So you came out of college with an art history major?
Just history.
Okay.
Just straight history.
And then you got your first gig in Canton?
Pro Football Hall of Fame, It really, you know, pretty much took the place of what would be a museum studies major in college, you know, working there every day and learning, meeting all the great people and seeing all the great football artifacts that I got to see.
Right. And amazing. And it really inspired you to get into this industry, I'm assuming.
Definitely.
And then your wife moved to Wausau, and that's how you got here right after that.
Yep.
And so the Football Hall of Fame obviously has global visitors, as does this museum.
Yep.
People come from around the world to visit this museum. What are the goals for the museum in terms of popularity or visitation or things like that?
Increased attendance, stuff like that.
It's a great question. And I'm more of a qualitative than quantitative. My belief is, if we only have 5 people come in a year, but all 5 have life-changing experiences or are really moved by our exhibitions or our programs, that's better to me than 50,000 and no one has a good time. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've been fortunate enough to see some really great moments in this museum that have really transformed people's lives. Yeah. And it makes coming here every day worth it 10 times over.
And because it's free admission forever, or, you know, the number of people coming through the museum financially doesn't really have an impact one way or the other necessarily.
Not really. Although, you know, the more people that do come through and the more people that have positive experiences, you know, we'll see more people want to become members or support the museum or leave cash in our cash contribution box or support the museum in other ways. But at the core, you're right.
And you said you've seen people's lives changed by coming through the museum. Yeah. Can you give us an example of one of those instances?
Sure. I think one of my favorite and one we've told many times, one of our most impactful programs is called Art Beyond Sight, which is for visually impaired members of the community. And they come and they're able to touch art and learn from art through touch rather than sight. Mm-hmm. And we had an artist from Milwaukee, his name is Don Rombaut. He works primarily in steel, carves a lot of steel animals, steel birds. And he was working with a woman one-on-one who's been blind since birth. And he was kind of describing the sculpture that she was feeling. And he said to her, okay, so now feel the bird's feet. And she paused for a second and said, birds have feet?
Oh.
And you know, if you think about it, if you're blind since birth,
right,
how would you know that birds have feet? Sure, you know birds fly.
Right.
Right. But you wouldn't know that birds have feet. And that's when, you know, like that sort of thing clicked in our head. And you know, it's just like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's something that you
first
know,
time
you
just, in her life she ever realized that birds have feet.
You know, and, you know, it sounds, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, sticks
with you. Well,
you
opened up a certain part of the world for it that had not been opened up before.
Right, right. That we just take for granted. We all know birds have feet.
Right.
Well, maybe we all don't know that.
You know, and it's experiences like that or with our SPARC program, which is for adults with early onset dementia who come in and they look at art and it sparks certain memories within them. Or, you know, our educational programs for kids who come in on a school group. group tour or meet an artist for the first time. You know, this winter was a fantastic on the wall. She signed it over there. A children's book illustrator from Mexico named Juju Morales came to the area. An exhibition of her work was up, and we took her to area schools, including Abbotsford, Colby, Athens, a lot of schools with a large Hispanic student populations. And for those students to, you know, hear and see someone that looked like them and be able to communicate with an artist, you know, hard to replicate.
Very special. Did she paint that?
She did. We have an artist in, so yeah. This building that we're in right now is for museum hands-on art activities, but also for visiting artists, purpose-built for visiting artists. So whenever we have an artist, Ariana Faith, signed her name up there, Juju Morales, behind you, behind the steel there, a few other artists have left their mark. So,
Super cool.
Yeah, we want them to recognize their time here.
Speaking of like public art too, Keith Kasiak, who we graduated with around the same time, recently installed something on the Riverwalk there. Did you guys have anything to do with that?
The museum, no. However, I believe someone affiliated with the museum was on the Wausau Arts Commission at the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you guys are on the Wausau Arts Commission as part of Artrageous next weekend as well?
Well, I think those are two separate entities. Wausau Arts Commission is a city commission made up of different citizens in the city, but the museum is part of Wausau's Artrageous Weekend, which includes the Festival of Arts, Art in the Park through the Wisconsin Valley Artists Association, as well as the Center for Visual Arts and the Woodson Art Museum, those four organizations.
And that's when you kick off, like you're about to kick off Birds and Art for this year too, right?
Yeah, for this next year, yes, it's this is crunch time for the museum. So next Saturday the 7th, will be the public opening of the 49th annual Birds and Art exhibition here at the Woodson Art Museum, where we'll have
right around the corner.
Yeah, we'll have over 55 artists from all over the world come to Wausau for the opening weekend and meet with the community.
Who would you say, as we kind of get ready to wrap up here, who would you say is the single biggest lover of the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum?
Oh, well, it has to be myself. No, no, that's a great question and almost unanswerable, you know, because I mean, there are people that support the museum up and down, that come to the museum all the time, people that work at the museum. But truly, there could be people that come in the doors and love the museum to no end. And I don't know their story.
Or my mom's one of them. She volunteered here for a few years.
Oh, see? And, you know, and that's the thing, Paul and Ryan, you know, I can't answer that question. I know there's a lot of people that love this museum, myself included, and hopefully Bryce. But
she's nodding.
Yeah, good.
How are we doing, Bryce? Are we doing all right? Yeah, anything we should ask here?
But no, you know, I pinch myself every day coming to work. It's a place I come to work happy, and I leave work happy every day.
You both look happy, so that's good.
Yeah.
What percentage of the Marathon County population do you think has visited this museum and been through its doors?
Oh, great question. I hope all, but you know, I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
Good question.
Yeah, it's just I've talked to a lot of people that have never been through its doors, surprisingly. Yeah,
and you know, I think that's something that's common even with our larger peers in bigger communities about the visual arts. You know, if it's in your own community, sometimes you don't value it as much as you do if it was in another community.
Yeah. And how often are the Woodsons through here? Because I know the family, I mentioned this on the show, I think last week or the week before, stumble in and get an opportunity to tour 60 Minutes. The headquarters of 60 Minutes a couple of years ago. And Wren Woodson, unbeknownst to me, who's the granddaughter of one of the Woodsons and grew up in Wausau, was Leslie Stahl's executive assistant.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, and she goes, you're from Wausau? And I go, yeah. And she goes, I grew up in the Lee Aki Woodson Art Museum. I grew up going there. That was my grandpa. And I'm like, whoa, cool.
Yeah, that's strange coincidence.
No, the family is fairly spread out. As you mentioned, Wren, who I still believe lives in New York, but
works at Jeopardy now.
It works at Jeopardy now. What is Jeopardy?
Yeah.
But the family is pretty spread out, but they usually are here at least a couple times a year. And I mean the region, and almost always stop into the museum. It's always nice to see them. A few are on our board of directors still.
And what is the future? Like if you think about the focus of the museum and the goals of the museum, is there a specific mission for the museum in the years to come?
You know, I believe our mission is a great one, and it's straightforward and simple. It's to enhance lives through art. And I want to continue that. I want to continue providing excellent programs, exhibitions, and experiences free of charge to anyone that'll come.
And if people have ideas for different exhibitions that they'd like, I mean, we brought one up about East Bay the other day in shoes like how cool that would be as an exhibition with the founders of East Bay. Do they contact you and say, hey, this is a cool exhibition?
Correct.
Okay, if they see see one?
Could. How often are they local, like the exhibitions? Are they usually like a national tour type
You know,
thing?
It kind of like what we mentioned with Stormy Cromer, a lot of the, you know, because we have to book so far out in advance, usually the main temporary exhibition isn't necessarily local, but a corresponding one could have a local tie, as that's sometimes figured out later.
What's your favorite one, or the one that you're looking forward to the most of the next year or so? I know we got the draft coming up in Green Bay, and they're doing a lot of stuff around Wausau. Are you doing anything around that?
Well, we are.
Oh, cool.
So, and I'll give two plugs. The winter exhibition also will be a great exhibition. It's called Survival of the Fittest, which is a partnership between the Rijksmuseum Twente in the Netherlands and the National Museum of Wildlife Art. And that's coming here in the winter.
It is
super cool. It's kind of a monumental show for us. But then in the spring, the main temporary exhibition is all going to be about the art of the kimono. And myself, with my ties to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because that exhibition is focused on clothing design and the evolution of clothing, I figured, you know, maybe work something out with the Pro Football Hall of Fame about pro football uniforms. Cool. And since the NFL draft is happening in Green Bay next year, and a lot of people will be traveling on Highway 29 to and from Green Bay, we thought we'd try to make ourselves a destination. And I think more Wausau businesses should try to make themselves a destination. And it's going to be called Gridiron Garments. So it's going to highlight the evolution of pro football uniform designs.
Very cool. Yeah. And when was that going to open?
It'll open in the beginning of March and run through June, beginning of June.
Right after the kimono.
Same time as the kimono, but a corresponding exhibition, but it'll be up for the NFL draft.
Cool. Oh, that is brilliant. So how many years have you been in Wausau? Just since 2011?
Since 2010.
And you were born and raised where again?
Born in Madison, but raised primarily in Door County.
Lucky duck.
You realize it more as you grow up, and especially as you see your kids experience Door County summers, visiting their grandparents and family and from Washington Island, as far north as you can get in Door County. I was very lucky to grow up there. My dad was in the military, so we moved around a little bit. But
Door County, as many Wausonians know, is beautiful. I mean, second only to Wausau, but you grew up on Washington Island?
I grew up on Washington
Island. You were born on Washington
Island? You're kidding me. Born in Madison. My mom was going to UW-Madison at the time, but grew up on Washington Island.
Wow. I was just there.
So was I.
You went to school there?
For until seventh grade. And then my dad got stationed out near Seattle, Washington. So I moved out there, went to high school in Washington State. But kindergarten through seventh grade on Washington Island. But class of nine. It was a huge class. recent classes have been class of one or class of two.
How often are you taking the ferry off?
Yeah, how do you feel about ferries?
I love ferries. You know, when you're living up there, you have specific reasons and purposes, and you make sure you do as much grocery shopping and big city living as you can before you get back to the island.
Yeah.
But it was a special place to grow up.
And where did you go to undergrad?
Undergrad, UW Eau Claire. Okay. But nice. I will give a plug.
The Blue Golds.
Yeah. Proud Blue Gold. But I was part of the initial cohort of the UWSP MBA program through UWSP and UWSP at Wausau.
That's where I've seen your picture on the ads for that.
A lot of Zhang Fang was a classmate of mine.
A lot of Zhang.
You guys are on all the ads. Hi, Lotta. Yeah, I know. And Bryce, I saw you pumping your fist over there for the Blue Golds.
Also
are you a Blue Gold?
Blue Gold.
Okay.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, all right. And Matt's your boss? Is that how that works? Come on over to the microphone here, Bryce, as we wrap up for a second.
How's Matt as a boss? Be honest.
Oh, Matt is a great boss. I feel like we have a really great work culture.
Cool.
We're more so like a family.
Oh, that's
great. We work together really well. And
how many employees are there here?
We have 11 exempt employees and then about 20, including part-time.
And does that include volunteers and everything too?
No, volunteers. I think the volunteer roster is between 40 and 50 right now. So,
oh, wow.
And how many? Up to 70, including volunteers.
Cool. And how many members?
Just under 1,000.
Do they pay a pretty penny to be a member, or how does that work?
They pay what they want to pay to help support the museum do its work.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. Well, thank you to the Leocky Woodson families, first of all. I'd like to give a round of applause to the... It's Lee Yockey was his name, her name. And then the Woodson part of it was just the hyphenation, right?
Well, she married a man named Achmond Woodson. So her name was Lee Yockey Woodson. And so her surviving daughters and their families who created the museum named the museum in memory of their mother.
And Super they were, cool. The Woodsons were lumber people, right?
Yes.
Or,
yep.
Were they associated with Wausau papers or what did they?
Not really. Cyrus Yockey, who is really kind of the patriarch of the Yockey Milwaukee side who came to the town of Hazelhurst and really started a lumber business up there. He was originally part of the Wausau Group.
So yeah. They were all lumber barons. That's how they made all this money?
I don't know about baron, you know, but they were in the lumber business.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Matt Foss, how are the Packers going to do this year?
I hope they're hoisting the Vince Lombardi Trophy in February 2025.
Did we hear about A.J. Dillon? Is out for the season?
The mayor of Door County.
He loves Door County.
It is sad, but you have to adapt.
They're deep at running back this year, though.
They're deep all over.
Yeah.
The fact that a lot of players they put on waivers were already picked up by other teams tells you something about their depth.
Oh, I like what I'm hearing here.
Me too.
And before we go, I think I've tried to wrap up three times, but I can't. Yeah, it's too compelling.
Right. That's right.
Before we go, in 2017, the museum here won a national award of all museums in the United States. Can you talk about that a little bit?
It was like the equivalent of winning a gold medal at the Olympics through the Institute of Museum and Library Services for service to the country and what we do and how we do it. We're one of only a few museums, one of only, I believe, two art museums that year to win the award. So a major, major feather in the cap of the museum and its staff.
So 123,000 libraries. The Institute of Museum and Library Services, a federal agency supporting the nation's approximately 123,000 libraries and 35,000 museums. So libraries were in contention for this award too.
Correct.
In 2017, the National Medal for Museum and Library Services from the United States government was awarded to the Liaki Woodson Art Museum. Wow. So can we get one of those again, Matt?
Unfortunately, you can only win it once. Okay. Which, you know, that's kind of great for me, you know. It's won before I, you know, came took in. Over. But no, I was a part of the staff here, and it really was. It was an accomplishment not only for the museum, but all our members, visitors, artists, and community, as the community that supports us so well. It was an award for all.
Well, thank you to Mr. and Mrs. John and Alice Forrester, who in 1973 donated this property. And thank you to the Liaki Woodson family, who this museum was named in honor of, whose husband, her name was Liaki Woodson, who died in 1963. Mm-hmm. But her husband's name was Paul. Here, let's see if Paul can pronounce this guy's name. Right here. Pronounce that name.
His name is, holy cow. hold on. Aked Monday?
It's a lot of consonants. Hmond.
Hmond P. Woodson perished in 1958. But thank you to the Woodson family and the Forrester family. And thank you, Matt, for spending some time at Liaki Woodson Art Museum on the Wausau Business Show.
Hey, don't write yourself off yet. It's only in your head you feel left out or look down on. Just try your best. Try everything you can. And don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time.
Of Rib Mountain State Park. This is the one and only Wausau Business Show.
Cost of listening to the Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul, free. Cost of living in Wausau, 15.4% lower than the national average. Enjoying art at the Liaki Woodson Art Museum, priceless. Wausau, where quality of life is our masterpiece.
Hi, this is Mark Craig. Come visit Compass Properties 3rd Street Lifestyle Center. Support locally owned businesses in downtown Wausau. The Pinery, the Chocolate Cafe, Forward Beverage, Polito's Pizza, Lemongrass, Chow, Jimmy John's, Isaac's, Magnolia Soap and Bath, Modern Gents, Campbell Haynes Menswear, Tanya's Bridal, Asian Massage, Reflexology Center, and listen to 98.9 Bull Falls Radio. Shop local at the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in beautiful downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Welcome to the heartbeat of Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show.
It's the Wausau Business.
Business Show. That was awesome talking to Matt Foss about the Leoki Woodson Art Museum.
Yeah, super interesting.
Matt, while we were getting a little tour, because Birds and Art kicks off next week, as we mentioned, and it's Artrageous Weekend next weekend in downtown Wausau, which has been going on for decades. It's iconic.
And big awesome. Art weekend.
Welcome to all visiting who are coming to visit Wausau, Wisconsin for the Artrageous Weekend. And Matt mentioned, feel free to come to the Leoki Woodson Art Museum. They have a rooftop area, and it's
super cool.
Probably the best place in Wausau to go and take a sack lunch or something like that. Have a picnic on the rooftop of the Leoki Woodson Art Museum. And he said, oh yeah, you can bring a bottle of wine up here. You can. We have Wi-Fi. Anybody's welcome. Just come on over.
Grab your laptop. Work like it's a coffee shop almost.
Yeah, but he said, no frat parties. That's where I draw the line.
Or bachelor parties, I think you might have mentioned.
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm going to go over there next week.
Yeah.
It sits on the National Historic East Hill. One of the coolest neighborhoods in all of Wisconsin, in my opinion.
Very much so. Super cool historic neighborhood.
Yeah, I went to the governor's mansion in the Wisconsin governor's mansion.
Oh, right, in Madison.
You know, in Madison there. Yeah. But that row has like big houses on it.
Yeah. Big old historic houses.
Yeah, and that's what East Hill is.
Right.
And one of them was the Leoki Woodson Art Museum, or what used to be a house for the Woodson family or the Forrester family. And it's really cool to have that there.
Super cool.
Who's coming up on the show next week, Paul?
Well, during Artrageous Weekend, Ryan, we've got a number of local artists we're going to be talking to.
Oh, can't wait. How many?
Art themed. It's going to be
inspiring.
Inspiring. Thought provoking.
And artistic.
Yeah, and very artistic. We're going to talk to at least four local artists.
Okay, at least four. All right, awesome. So until next week, Wausonians living in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
We love you.
From high atop Rib Mountain. That's where we love you from. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end. All right.
West Coast team. Holiday Road. Holiday Road. Holiday Road.
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserviert 2024.